Menopause, perimenopause, these can be some of the most uncomfortable phases of a woman's life. If you find yourself in either of these, well, Hormone Harmony is here for you. Hormone Harmony capsules contain science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it really shows.
And get this, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. For many of us, the topic of self-care includes eating healthy and working out. But when you get busy, don't forget about your mental well-being as well. Therapy isn't for only those who've experienced a major trauma. For me, it's a tool to manage my stress and work on being the best version of myself.
So whether you are looking for a new therapist or trying therapy for the first time, BetterHelp is, well, here to help. Their online appointments are designed to be convenient for your schedule, and all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time.
BetterHelp makes it easy to make your mental well-being part of your regular self-care regimen. So why not try BetterHelp? Take care of your body and your brain.
Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dress today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dressed. Dressed, the History of Fashion is a production of Dressed Media. There are 8 billion people in the world. We all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast that explores the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. April's already laughing at me, I know, but dress listeners, welcome to the conclusion of the very first 5-part Dressed series.
5 parts, friends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Also known as evidence of Cassidy, aka me, shamelessly refusing to stop writing and researching about fashion and fashion history at the Olympics. But why would I when there is so much to say about this year's fashion and fashion history filled festivities? As promised, we have lots to discuss from this year's Paris 2024 Olympics. A lot has happened since we aired part one in this series last week, April, right?
Yes, and I've been enjoying my leisurely time being able to go back and watch the replays of the gymnastics events that I'm particularly interested in. I remember growing up as a kid, you had to be there.
Exactly.
With your little booty on the couch watching as it was happening. There was no going back later and watching. No one send me any spoiler alerts because I'm not done with all gymnastics yet. But yes, we have so much to discuss, especially considering this year's Olympics are being heralded as the most fashionable and most stylish Olympic Games ever.
And that is something that should not be surprising considering its location in the world fashion capital of Paris, where fashion has been an embedded part of the city's and its inhabitants' DNA for centuries.
Yes, and in part one of this series, we discussed how this was on full display in the high fashion-packed opening ceremony with stars like Lady Gaga and Celine Dion wearing custom creations from the House of Dior, one of the many brands under the umbrella of the luxury conglomerate LVMH, the Olympics and Paralympics' largest sponsor this year, to the tune of $163 million.
Just a small sponsorship.
Drop in the bucket.
But something we did not talk about were the myriad of other ways fashion, and by extension fashion history, were injected into this year's games thanks to LVMH's sponsorship. So for starters, winning Olympic athletes received medals designed by the luxury jeweler Chaumet, which was founded in, get this, April, 1780.
Before the French Revolution.
Yes. And it was founded by a jeweler by the name of Marie-Étienne Nitot. He studied under the jeweler to Queen Marie Antoinette, speaking of pre-French Revolution, but he actually didn't go into business on his own until the post-revolutionary period, where his prestigious clients included everyone from Napoleon Bonaparte to many others.
And the fashion history at this year's Olympics doesn't stop there, because those Chaumet design medals that Cash just spoke about are being presented to the winning athletes on trays designed by one of the most famous and coveted leather goods brands of all time. We are, of course, speaking about Louis Vuitton, a brand which our listeners will know comes with a very long history of its own. And this company was founded by its namesake in 1854. And this year, Louis Vuitton is not just designing custom metal trays. The Olympic torch has also been traveling in a custom Louis Vuitton torch trunk, which is adorable.
So-called torch trunk. So the games have been ripe with LVMH collaborations and cross promotions, including designer athlete uniforms by Berluti and Kenzo. The list goes on, even if the Arnault family, the richest in the world, by the way, who leads LVMH, claims it is not about the money, but rather celebrating French creativity on a world stage. So LVMH image and environment director Antoine Arnault told Women's Wear Daily that, quote, our primary desire is to bring France's creative and innovative know-how and craftsmanship to all moments of these games. If the French and the whole world notice and admire this heritage of ours, then we will have succeeded, end quote. Although in the same interview, he also acknowledges the obvious financial benefits of LVMH's involvement. But as each episode of this Worn to Win series has illustrated, LVMH is not alone in recognizing the financial benefits of aligning with the largest athletic competition in the world. So it's great exposure for any fashion brand, big or small.
Absolutely. And in terms of the American side of things, this, of course, includes Ralph Lauren, who has been dressing USA's Olympics and Paralympics team for opening closing ceremonies since 2008. For this summer's Olympics, the brand, quote, draws inspiration from the dynamic and vibrant host city, end quote, while remaining true to the Ralph Lauren brand of Americana, with his signature preppy chic style that embraces a, quote, patriotic spirit reflected in a signature palette of red, white, and blue. Although, Cass, we have to note that the reviews about these uniforms have been mixed, to say the least, as some people found this brand of American style a little bit boring compared to a lot of the other countries' uniforms.
Yes, which we will talk about in a little bit. But yeah, this is actually really interesting, I think, and can be contextualized within a larger fashion history narrative, as you know, dress listeners in April. But the fight for Americans to distinguish themselves from France with our own unique brand of distinctively, quote unquote, American style is a battle that extends back to at least the 1910s. And this is a time when France, not America, right? The French fashion designers dominated the American fashion industry. So we don't have a lot of time to go into that here, but let's just say that Ralph Lauren's preppy style exhibited through this year's opening ceremony uniforms of blazers and blue jeans is a direct extension of that. Even if people found it unimpressive when compared to the other uniforms on view during the ceremony in the world fashion capital of Paris.
But not all opening ceremony uniforms had mixed reviews and reactions, Cass. There is a pretty general consensus that if there was an award to be given for the best opening ceremony uniform, it would hands down go to Team Mongolia, whose uniforms caused a crazy internet sensation. It's all over social media. So many people who are not necessarily fashion historians sent this to me because they knew that I would be quite intrigued. But these beautiful uniforms sailed down the Seine on the bodies of the Olympic athletes from Mongolia in the opening ceremony. And all the more remarkable about this is that they were created in just under 3 months, which is a shockingly small amount of time given all of the work that went into them.
Yes, and just a little background on the uniforms. They were designed by the Mongolian family-owned and operated couture house of Michelle and Amazonka, founded by sisters of the same name. And then there's a third sibling that is the CEO. So it really is a family-run business. And in an exclusive interview with Days Magazine, the trio opened up about their viral designs, which they were tapped to create, as April just said, a mere 3 months before the opening ceremony. And this was only after the original official outfitter for the team dropped out. But as it turns out, the trio are not new to the Olympics, and they had actually designed Team Mongolia's uniforms for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
And fun fact, also, they have designed airline uniforms as well. So this uniform thing is in their wheelhouse. But for this year's team from Mongolia, the sisters updated and innovated traditional Mongolian garments seen at the annual Nadam Festival, a widely popular and historic annual event that features military parades and also athletic competitions. As the sisters told Dazed, quote, "The combination of deal," and by that they mean traditional Mongolian costume, "and vest is a very popular choice for Nadam goers and participants. We made it into a more modern version with traditional elements and symbols," end quote. So this word deel, D-E-E-L, is essentially a long robe that buttons along the side. And their versions for the Olympics are in white with a gold embroidered belt and a standing collar over which is worn a side closing vest paired with traditional Buryat hats and Gutal boots.
But Michelle and Amazonka brought their own personal twist to these traditional garments with incredibly striking designs that were imbued with meaning and significance beyond the national colors. As told today's quote, "On the vest, we embroidered the 9 white banners, the Olympic torch, plus floral patterns and mountains." This expresses the following meanings. Our Nadam begins when the 9 white banners enter the stadium, symbolizing peace and unity. The World Olympics begins when the torch is lit. This represents the beginning. We use bird motifs to represent freedom and aspiration. And then they go on to talk about the significance of the mountain motifs as, quote, "The athletes strive to win gold like the mountaineers climbing Everest. This represents the hard work and resilience of the athletes."
The uniforms, each of which required 20 hours of sewing and embroidery, also undeniably represents the incredible artistry, craftsmanship, and the hard work of the designers and their atelier who produce in an incredible 120 sets of these uniforms for both the Olympic and Paralympic athletes, as we have already mentioned several times, in 3 months. So all of this hard work for their entire team has been very much rewarded with this global reception and outpouring of love for the designs of the Mongolian Olympic team. This was definitely a highlight of this year's Olympics, and all of it coming before the Olympics even started, which is amazing.
Yeah, and not the only Olympic fashion nudes dominating our feeds before the Olympics began. So 1 month prior to the Olympics opening ceremony, Vogue staged its own opening ceremony of sorts, which was a star-studded event and fashion-filled performance in the form of the third iteration of Vogue World, which was held in Paris on June 23rd, which uncoincidentally just so happens to be International Olympic Day. April, how have we...
I did not know that.
I know, me either. But April, how have we not talked about Vogue World on the podcast yet, especially since a central part of the planning and directing team was none other than dressed friend and past dressed guest, Palais Galliard curator Alexandra Sampson.
Yes. And for our listeners who might not know, Vogue World is only a very recently inaugurated annual fashion-driven extravaganza, a media spectacle, if you will. It's filled with models, performers, theatrics, and the very first one was held here in New York in 2022, and then that was repeated again in London in 2023. But it is essentially a show intended to celebrate the fashion and fashion history of its host city. And it's really the latest brainchild of Vogue's publicity machine, which is constantly thinking of new ways to promote the art and history of fashion, think the Met Gala, while also underscoring and securing the fashion magazine's century-long reign as the world's leading fashion arbiter.
In honor of the Olympics, this year's Vogue World was held in Paris and intended to celebrate 100 years of fashion and sport, which was, of course, a fitting theme and timeline, considering that the last time the Olympics were held in Paris was 100 years ago in 1924. So they celebrated this century-long relationship in a chronological journey that linked each decade, beginning in the 1920s, with a particular sport. And this is so fascinating, April. This is actually where Alexandra's expertise came in, because he's a 20th century and 20th century fashion expert. So the show featured many contemporary designers, but was all about contextualizing these designs within the past. And so it began with 3 Chanel dresses that were recreated by Chanel and came straight from the pages of 1924 Vogue magazine.
Alexandra took Vogue behind the scenes of Vogue World in an interview a day after the event, sharing his team's mood boards and inspirations, starting with the 1920s section, which featured those 3 dresses by Chanel that Cass just mentioned. And this article is fantastic in that it pairs the original black and white photographs of these dresses by Edward Steichen as they appeared in Vogue with the recreations brought to us in full color and in motion. And this is something that was particularly effective with two fringed numbers that were static in the original photographs, but brought to life in the contemporary version for all of our viewing pleasure.
The show also paid homage to another iconic Parisian fashion designer, Jean Lanvin, which, founded by its namesake in 1899, makes it one of the oldest heritage brands in France. The article features the original 1924 sketch Lanvin made for a costume that she designed for the opening performance of a Vogue-sponsored event of that same year in 1924, entitled Les Soirées de Paris. Aptly titled Vogue, the star-spangled bathing suit is now in the collection of the Palais Galliera. It's actually one of my favorite pieces of hers. It's so cool.
Nice.
And it served as inspiration for a contemporary dress version of the bathing suit that was provided by the house for the Vogue World Stage.
And you might be thinking, dress listeners, where is evidence of the aforementioned sports connection promised to be aligned with each decade? The 1920s was paired with cycling, and this came in the form of actual cyclists from France's national team wearing black skin-tight ensembles inspired by the French silent film star known as Musidora, and masked headwear inspired by a French fictional crime anti-hero by the name of Fantomas. And Alexandre joked with Vogue that, quote, he is clearly a thief, but a very chic thief.
Yes, and we love Alexandra's sense of humor as well.
Yes.
And the show progressed in this way, connecting contemporary brands with their illustrious heritage and namesake founders such as Balenciaga, Dior, Schiaparelli, and it had this intermingling of sports from track and field to fencing. So at one point, Kendall Jenner and Gigi Hadid showed up on horses. So it really was quite the event in Paris's Place Vendôme that is worthy of more than the brief description here. So we will put a link in our show notes to this fantastic article that is full of fashion history connections, as well as Alexandra's insights for your reading pleasure, along with, of course, the other articles mentioned in today's episode. More fashion history at the Paris 2024 Olympics after a brief sponsor break. Dress listeners, it goes without saying that a lot of our shopping errands are made easier these days by shopping online. So why aren't you using Rakuten? Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop.
That's right. You can earn cash back when you shop at 3,500 stores for fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, concert tickets, and more. How does it work, you ask? Well, brands pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and this is passed along to you as cash back.
From Sephora to Petco and Levi's to Expedia, when you shop with Rakuten, your cashback can be deposited directly into your PayPal account, or they will send you a check. Membership is free, and you can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals like store sales and coupons.
If you're already shopping at your favorite stores, why not save while you're doing it? Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million users who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up. Cass, did you know that learning a new language isn't only helpful for international travel? Acquiring new language skills also has cognitive benefits and can improve brain function. Studies have shown that learning a new language can improve memory, problem-solving skills, and even delay the onset of dementia.
There are so many reasons to learn a new language, dress listeners, and Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Available to use on a desktop or an app, Rosetta Stone is flexible for when you want to learn fast by immersion.
With features like True Accent that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, to the fact that you get lifetime access to all of Rosetta Stone's 25 languages, this incredible offer solves all your language learning needs for life.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Dress listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize.
Yes, so many wonderful products, and that even includes baby board books, which is something that I recently personalized for my 2-year-old son, Leo, who loves to read. And I titled the book A Boy Named Leo. And the best part is that it all comes illustrated with some of my favorite pictures of him by himself and with family and friends. It really is such a sweet, unique, and special commemoration of our life together thus far, and something we will all cherish forever.
Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Dress listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use the code DRESSED through December 31st. Welcome back. We have been covering the fashion highlights of this year's Olympics, but suffice it to say, the Olympics are not all glitter and gold. And we would be remiss to not mention at least one of the fashion-fueled controversies of the game so far. There have been a handful.
Yes, and of course, case in point is the now controversial Festivité tableau, which was a performance on the Passerelle de Billy Bridge at the opening ceremony, and it featured a banquet table turned fashion runway. It was a performance overseen by lesbian activist, LGBTQ plus icon, and French DJ Barbara Butch, and this performance was really intended to be a celebration of both queer pride. It featured notable trans models and drag performers, but also a celebration of smaller French fashion designers independent from LVMH. However, the day following the performance, Christian and religious leaders were up in arms after it was widely misinterpreted as a parody of Da Vinci's famed Last Supper painting, which of course depicts Jesus's Last Supper with the 12 apostles the night before his crucifixion. Accusations aside, the uproar speaks to a much larger ongoing battle to stifle LGBTQ expression and representation, of which the act and art of drag, which was on full display on this sketch, plays no small part.
Yeah, and we're kind of hesitant to give this any more airtime than it has already had. This is where some art history education would perhaps come in handy for some of these people critiquing this. Or just read the media, because the opening ceremony's artistic director, Thomas Jolly, quickly revealed that the true inspiration behind the performance was actually Greek mythology, which predates Christianity, obviously, telling the media outlet Deadline, the Last Supper, quote, is not my inspiration, and that should be pretty obvious. There's Dionysus arriving on a table. Why is he there? First and foremost, because he is the god of celebration in Greek mythology, and the tableau is called Festivity. And he continues on, quote, he is also the god of wine, which is one of the jewels of France, and the father of Sequana, the goddess of the river Seine. The idea was to depict a big pagan celebration linked to the gods of Olympus and thus the Olympics, end quote. But these revelations by the person Jolly, who actually created this tableau, have done little to quell the uproar, which has now even the Vatican involved, apparently.
Yes, it's just become this whole thing when it didn't need to be. But it's evidence of something that we always talk about on Dress, which is that fashion is about so much more than pretty clothes. But also, I just want to talk about the pretty clothes on display, because all of this controversy has masked the intended meaning of this tableau, which, as I mentioned, was a celebration of both queer pride and independent fashion labels. So according to Women's Wear Daily, it was really important for the ceremony's styling and costume designer, Daphne Berkey, to showcase a new generation of Paris-based designers to the 1.5 billion people tuning in to this opening ceremony. So this tableau featured many of these labels, including Wayne Santo, Alphonse Maître Pierre, Kevin Germainier, Arthur Robert's label West Paris, CREOLE by Vincent Frederick Colombo, and others modeled by inspiring sports, queer, and fashion icons. So this was such a fun party.
And this party included the Italian Paralympic fencer Beatrice Bebe Vio Grandi, who wore a befeathered pastel mini dress by Germainier, and trans model Raya Martigny, who, quote, crystallized the feeling of pride amongst France's LGBTQIA+ community by walking in a catsuit in the colors of the French flag that, get this, was covered in more than 60,000 crystals. Amazing. And this was designed by Gilles Asquin's eponymous Asquin label. And Maître Pierre asked to dress Frida Kelfa, a muse to designers ranging from Azadine Alaïa to Jean-Paul Gaultier. He custom designed a pale pink sheath dress with an opulent folded bodice made of four layers of material embellished with laser cut patterns and embroidered floral details, end quote.
As Maître Pierre also told Women's Wear Daily, quote, given that we would be alongside major brands with the means and extensive ateliers, I went for the idea of an evening gown done our way, 100% upcycled. I visited materials upcycling stocks in Pantene and challenged myself to make the outfit from whatever I found there, end quote. So in a media landscape dominated by the LVMH designers featured in the opening ceremony, these designers really offered a refreshing glimpse into the art and innovation happening at the hands of smaller brands throughout France as well.
Yes, and this is such a potent reminder that fashion is not just about the big brands and the big money. And this leads us to our next topic and something that we unfortunately did not have much space for in this now five-part series. Which is a discussion about the self-fashioning and personal expression of the athletes themselves. And at this year's Olympics, we have seen plenty of self-fashioning, including notably the now Olympic medal winning track star Sha'Carri Richardson, whose notable personal style, including her long bejeweled nails, earned her the attention and accolades of many. And this included Vogue, who featured her as their digital cover star of their August edition.
And her nails represent the height and length of nail art. They are incredible. And that's something that, as we have seen repeatedly throughout the games, was not reserved to her. April, you and I have not been able to stop talking about the long nails worn by many of the lady gymnasts of the USA Olympic gymnastic teams, who took home gold, of course, in the women's team all around, in addition to numerous other medals. And you and I, of course, are huge fans of gymnastics at the Olympics.
Yeah, and you didn't know this until I texted you, but I used to be a competitive gymnast. So I texted you one day. I was like, have you seen their nails? How are they doing this? I have zero clue how you could do some of these moves because it's so dependent on your hands. I have no idea how they're not breaking them, how they're doing it. My mind is blown.
There is really nothing women cannot do, April, I think is the lesson of the story, and do in fashion. We've climbed mountains in corsets and long skirts. We've done everything, right? But let's just say you and I were not alone in questioning just how they achieve these athletic feats on floor, bar, vault, beam, with these exceptionally long nails.
The floor routines for me with the nails. Wow.
And actually, this question is something that has been addressed by none other than one of the members of this Paris 2024 team herself, Jordan Chiles, whose eye makeup and long acrylic nails have received a lot of attention. And she actually addressed this very question in an interview recently with the host of Vogue's podcast, The Run Through. Jordan said that her nails make her a better and more focused gymnast, which is fascinating. And she says, quote, it makes me think of the right technique because I'm not trying to fall or break a nail. My nails are too precious and too good looking to be breaking.
Okay, so I just want to say, there, I remember watching the Olympics and a lot of the track stars having long nails. Mm-hmm. This, I don't ever remember the gymnastics team having long nails like this. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But
no, I think it's super fashionable is what's happening here. Nails are very much in.
And of course, we have already done a whole history of the Vietnamese nail salon, right? That was one of the episodes that you did that.
Yes. And we talk about the influence of Black women on that market too. So really fantastic episode. Check it out.
Yes. So dress listeners, you too can have Olympic gymnast-worthy nails because it was also revealed this week that Jordan's teammate, Suni Lee, competed for her Olympic medals wearing KISS brand press-on nails. Quote, as a gymnast, I'm always looking for nails that are flexible, weightless, strong, and durable, end quote, she said in an interview going on. So making sure I had something that wasn't going to break easily was super important, end quote. And if that does sound a little bit like an ad, it's because it is, because Suni is an ambassador for the KISS brand of press-on nails. But obviously, they're working for her.
Yes. And color me impressed, April. Pun intended, obviously. I had to get one pun into this episode. No, there was
it's
many.
Allowed.
Yeah. And we cannot talk about the USA Gymnastics team without talking about their sparkly uniforms, which come with a fascinating story of their own. I was so happy to learn that the 8 bespoke leotards that each Olympic gymnast received were all designed by the leading gymnastics partner, GK Elite, who I had no idea, but they actually produced their garments stateside in a factory in Pennsylvania.
There is a fantastic Washington Post article out there that takes you behind the quote-unquote seams of the step-by-step production process with wonderfully detailed videos and photographs, We will issue a caveat here that is a subscription-only Washington Post situation, so it's behind a paywall.
Although recently it wasn't, so we'll put the link in there, and hopefully you will be allowed to see it, because I think it's getting so much attention that they're letting people read it.
Try your luck with that one. And also, sometimes you get like a limited amount of articles that you can read a month before they cut you off. But I loved the team's leotards this year, especially because they really delivered on the glitz and sparkle to the tune of, get this, listeners, 47,000 Swarovski crystals across the 8-piece set. And something I learned from this article and found particularly fascinating is just how much this demand for bling on gymnastics leotards has risen over the last two decades.
Yeah, so in this article, they talk about how, quote, crystal usage has exploded over the past two decades thanks to improving technology and machinery. Liukin's leotard in the all-around final in 2008 had 184 crystals. Douglas's, Gabby Douglas, in 2012 featured 1,188. This is according to New York Times. These numbers have grown to around 10,000 on some leotards, and the U.S. athletes have yet to indicate they want fewer crystals. Elite Sportswear purchased a whopping 90 million Swarovski crystals last year, and these embellishments are the primary driver of the cost of the Olympic leotards, which they're not for sale, but I think they average at $3,000 a piece if they were to be put for sale. And one of the designers of these leotards is quoted in the article as saying, I think we've hit the maximum crystal threshold. We're pretty maxed out on sparkle and shine.
They are fantastic. I especially love the ones this year where that had the star motif
The
void, right? So it was like completely covered in crystals, but the outline of the star was where the crystals weren't.
Yeah,
favorite. Those are really lovely. And with that glittering high note of information about one of Cass and I's favorite Olympic sports, we are going to conclude Worn to Win Dressing the Olympic series here with part five. Thank you so much for joining us these past few weeks and covering 2,700 years of Olympic fashion history. We've come a long way since 776 BCE, the date of the first recorded Olympic Games in history. Dress listeners, April here. Find yourself in NYC? Why don't we meet at the Met? On Tuesday mornings and Friday nights, you can join me for a 90-minute around-the-world private group tour of the Met's permanent collection. You will see the Met as never before, as we seek out the museum's hidden corners in pursuit of some of the most fashionable artworks in history. From the elaborate beauty rituals of ancient Egypt to the Renaissance fashionistas who cemented the color black as fashion's favorite color for centuries to come, all the way to Edward Manet's depictions of women engaging in the criminal act of wearing pants, this tour unravels the incredible stories behind 10 of the Met's greatest masterpieces. Learn more and register at dressedhistory.com. And also, if you need a different day or time, I can do that too. Can't wait to meet you at the Met.
Thank you so much, Dress listeners, for joining us. And thank you for indulging me, April, everyone, with this particular love and passion of mine. Even if you are not necessarily a sports lover, I hope you found as much inspiration in these stories as I did. Because at the end of the day, the clothing these athletes wear and have worn for the past 140 years of modern Olympic history are intimately connected to larger narratives that speak to what it really means to be human. And I love the Olympics for the same reasons that I love fashion. It connects us across our differences and is something that we can all come together to celebrate and find pride in our fellow humans for these great athletic feats. So thank you all for joining us. And until next week, may you consider the people and stories that inspire you next time you get dressed.
Remember, we love hearing from you. So if you'd like to write to us, you can do so at hello@dressedhistory.com. Or you can also DM us on Instagram @dressed_podcast, which is where you will find posts and reels to accompany each week's episodes. Content for this specific episode can be found if you search the hashtag dressed501. If you need some summer reading, you can also find a link in our show notes that will take you to our Dressed bookshelf with bookshop.org, where you will find more than 150 of our favorite fashion history titles.
You can also head to dressedhistory.com, where you can check out our latest offerings from the Dressed universe. That includes my ongoing What Women Wore to the Revolution series. And class is still in session, and you can still sign up if you'd like to join us at dressedhistory.com.
And dressedhistory.com is also where you can learn more and sign up for my Fashion History Fridays at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, You can join me for a 90-minute tour of the Met's most fashionable masterpieces starting in the ancient world all the way into the 20th century.
Love dress but want to skip the ads? Consider subscribing to our ad-free version of the show for just $3 a month and enjoy our 8 new episodes a month ad-free. That does it for us today, dress listeners. Thank you as always for tuning in, and more dress coming your way very soon. Dress, the History of Fashion is a production of Dressed Media.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.